Yesterday, Sarah G explained that by noting the presently arising object with effort, one is said to be fulfilling sila maganga, morality, and samadhi, concentration. And as one continues to practice, one also fulfills panya, wisdom. So by being mindful, the three trainings, sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, are fulfilled. By practicing sila, morality, one can remove videgama kilesa, transgressive defilements that can manifest in body and speech. By practicing samadhi, one can overcome priyutana kilesa, obsessive defilements that manifest in the mind. By fulfilling panyasika, wisdom training, one can remove defilements momentarily by developing knowledge. And Saraji will explain that part later on. When one is mindful of the presently arising object with this mental power, then one can remove kilesa defilements and one can develop knowledge. By being mindful, one can overcome transgressive defilements and obsessive defilements. Being mindful, one is free from these defilements, transgressive and obsessive defilements. And freedom from these defilements is the benefit of practice. So, when one's practice and the benefits one gains are in accordance, one understands the first virtue of the Dhamma, being swakata. And Saraji says, people nowadays are very fortunate as they have the opportunity to practice the Dhamma and they gain benefits accordingly. So they have the opportunity to understand the virtue of the Dhamma through their practice. When Upaka met Buddha on the way, this Upaka asked Buddha questions. And when Upaka learned the answer from the Buddha, he gained a little bit of faith and confidence. And it is not based on what the Buddha answered, but Upaka was very impressed by the appearance of the Buddha being very serene and body structure very proportionate, very serene and good looking. So seeing this appearance of the Buddha, Upaka gained pasada sada, serene faith. And Upaka recognized Buddha as an outstanding person. And later on, not at this time, but later on, times later, Upaka left the worldly matters and approached the Buddha, practiced according to the teaching of the Buddha, and became Anagami. And from then on, he was reborn as a Brahma, and then eradicated all the defilements and became an arahat. And Sarojī will not explain this in detail. But what Sarojī meant to say is that when Upaka met Buddha on the way, Buddha admitted that he was the Buddha who knew everything that should be known, and that Buddha had conquered enmity and other maras. And Buddha also admitted himself as Ananda Jina, being conqueror of everything. Even though Buddha was admitting himself as a Buddha, but Upaka did not have full faith and confidence on Buddha, because Upaka had not practiced Dipatthana meditation. Nowadays, for those who are practicing Satipatthana meditation, even though they do not have the chance to see the Buddha in person, but by practicing, they understand the virtue of the Dhamma. When they gain benefit their practice accordingly, they understand Swakata, virtue. And they develop knowledge in the practice. By developing knowledge in the practice, they see the Buddha. When one's vipassana knowledge, when one's insight knowledge become matured, they see living Buddha. They can see living Buddha when their knowledge become matured. In the case of Upaka, when he met Buddha on the way, Buddha admitted that he was the Buddha. Upaka was seeing the Buddha in person, and Upaka also heard what Buddha answered. But Upaka did not fully have faith and confidence on the Buddha, as he had not practiced. So what Upaka said is, "My man, it is possible. What you said was possible." So he agreed, nodding, thinking that it is possible what the Buddha said, and he continued his journey. So Sarojī wanted the yogis to know of this example. Upaka was seeing the Buddha in person, but it cannot be said that Upaka sees the Buddha, even though he sees the Buddha in person. And Sarojī says, nowadays, people go on pilgrimage. They think that they see the Buddha by paying respect to pagodas and images. And they spend money to travel to India to visit the four places, Samvijaniya Thana, the four places which can incite spiritual urgency. So they say they go on pilgrimage tour and they think they can see the Buddha. But even in the case of Upaka, who was seeing the Buddha alive with his own eyes in person, because Upaka has not realized the Dhamma, Upaka did not really see the Buddha. So Sarojī says, for those who are here, even though you do not have the chance to see the Buddha who gained enlightenment more than 2500 years ago, but Sarojī can guarantee that they can see the living Buddha by practicing. When they gain knowledge, they are sure to see the living Buddha through their practice. So after the conversation between Buddha and Upaka, Buddha continued his journey to Varanasi, Meghadaya, where the group of five were staying. Buddha reached Meghadaya, and the group of five saw the Buddha coming from a distance. So they discuss among each other. They make promises among themselves that Buddha was approaching, because Buddha gave up austerity practice. They look down on the Buddha and they say that Buddha is going around for games. And they use words looking down on the Buddha. So among themselves, they make promises that none of them will pay respect to the Buddha, none of them will welcome the Buddha, none of them will take Buddha's things in the way of welcoming him. But one thing they do is they arrange a place for the Buddha, because Buddha was higher. They arrange a place and they say that if Buddha wants to sit, he will sit there. And that's it. So when they see the Buddha, they make firm promises among them not to pay respect, not to welcome, and not to help Buddha carry his possession in a way of welcoming the Buddha. The group of five made promises among themselves, but they could not keep their promise. When Buddha arrived there, they broke their promises. Some welcomed the Buddha, and some helped carry the alms bowl and the robes from the Buddha, and some they arranged the place for Buddha, and one also arranged water to wash the feet, and so on. So even though at first they had the promises not to welcome the Buddha, but actually when Buddha arrived, they broke their promises and they did what needs to be done in welcoming the Buddha. Buddha had great compassion towards the beings, wanting to guide the beings the way in order to gain happiness and peace. And Buddha had great compassion, wanting the beings to be free from suffering and harm. With great compassion, Buddha wanted to guide the beings to do things which should be beneficial for them, and also to prohibit harmful things so that beings will not meet harm. By gaining Sabbanyuta Jnana, omniscient knowledge, Buddha differentiate what is beneficial and what is harmful. Buddha was also endowed with Charana. Buddha was called Charana Sampanna because Buddha was endowed with moral conduct. If one only knows what is beneficial and what is harmful, but if one does not have compassion, then one cannot guide others. And if one only has compassion without knowledge, one will not be able to guide other beings to perform good deeds to bring benefits, to refrain bad deeds to avoid harm. Not having compassion alone is not enough. One should also know distinctly between what is beneficial and what is harmful. Buddha was endowed with both knowledge and compassion. Because Buddha was endowed with knowledge, Buddha could differentiate what was beneficial and what was harmful, and Buddha could guide the beings to do good deeds, which will be beneficial for them. Buddha could guide the beings to refrain from bad deeds so that beings do not meet harm. And Buddha was endowed with great compassion, Mahakaruna. And this Mahakaruna, great compassion, had a very great impact on the group of five. That's why the group of five could not keep their promises, and they start to do things to welcome the Buddha. So it is said that it is because of the great magnetic force of the great compassion Buddha had towards the beings. Saraji gives an example. If there is a powerful magnet, and if there are nails and other iron things within this magnetic field, then the nails and iron will stick onto this magnet. In the same way, due to the magnetic force of the great compassion of the Buddha, that's why the group of five break their promises by welcoming the Buddha and doing things in order to welcome the Buddha. Buddha was endowed with both vijja, knowledge, and charana, moral conduct. And we are devoting on Buddha, who was endowed with such qualities. Some of the people criticize Buddhism, that some of them criticize that it is more important to save others than to free oneself. So they think that it is more important to help others than to practice in order to save oneself. And those people are giving priority in saving others without practicing in order to save oneself. These people criticize that people who are practicing in order to save themselves are selfish, and they look down on the ones who are practicing in order to save themselves. Buddha did not teach that way. It was not the Buddha's way. What the Buddha did is Buddha practiced so as to save himself. Only after he had saved himself, then he helped others. Saraji gives an example. If two people are sunk in the mud to the nose level, and if one of them say, "I will help you get out of this mud," it is not possible. What they should do is, one of them should first try to save himself out of the mud. Then he can help others. He can help the other one to get out of the mud. So it is the possible way to do it. But most of the people are thinking just the opposite. And they are saying that it is more important. They are thinking that they should give priority to saving others. They say that one should save others. And saving oneself is not as important. So it is not possible. We should follow the Buddha's way. One should save oneself by practicing, and only if one has saved oneself can he, she help others to struggle themselves from suffering. And Buddha had given ways, Buddha had guided the ways so that beings could struggle themselves onto the shore from the mud of suffering. And there are many beings who could free themselves from the mud of suffering and reach the shore. Buddha sat on the place that was arranged, washed the feet, and Buddha started saying to the group of five. The group of five were calling Buddha Gotama, and they were talking to Buddha in a way that they were equal to the Buddha. So Buddha told them not to use the words criticizing the Buddha and not to use the usage thinking that they are equal to the Buddha. And Sarojee says, nowadays also, to a respectful person, to a respectful Sarojee, it is not respectful to mention the name in front of the respectful monk and so on. So in the same way, Buddha told the group of five not to use the words that is out of respect, that is without respect. And Buddha said, Buddha should not be called by name as Gotama, and Buddha should not be talked to by using words that were disrespectful. And Buddha said, Bhikkhus, I have become a Tathagata, a fully enlightened one, by fulfilling the paramis just like the previous Buddhas. And Buddha declared that Buddha had known everything that should be known, and Buddha was fully enlightened. And Buddha said, listen, I will preach as I have gained deathlessness, and I will guide you the way. But the group of five, Panchavagi, did not accept. Buddha was convincing them that by practicing according to the method, they can also realize the Dhamma and it will be worthy of leaving the home to live a homeless life as a monk. So Panchavagi, the group of five, said that Buddha had given up the practice, and Buddha is hearing, Buddha is going here and there. How can it be possible that he has gained enlightenment? They say that even when Buddha to be was practicing austerity practice, eating very little, and so on, Buddha to be did not gain enlightenment. And how can it be possible that you are now a Buddha, hearing, going here and there? And Buddha convinced them 3 times. They also refused to accept the Buddha. They also refused to agree with the Buddha 3 times. Buddha had actually gained deathlessness. The group of 5 was seeing the Buddha with their own eyes, but they did not have faith and confidence that Buddha had gained enlightenment. So they keep on refusing to agree. That's why it is said that seeing the Buddha, if one does not realize the Dhamma, one cannot be said that he, she is seeing the Buddha. Nowadays, people are going on pilgrimage. They go and pay respect to the stupas, pagodas, and images, saying that they are paying respect to Buddha. They are seeing Buddha. There is a Burmese term which can be directly translated as seeing the Buddha or paying respect to Buddha, in a way of expressing paying respect or giving going pilgrimage. So Saraji says, just by paying respect to images, pagodas and stupas, one is not seeing the Buddha. In the case of the group of 5, they were seeing the Buddha in person with their own eyes, and still they could not accept that Buddha had gained enlightenment, even though Buddha was admitting himself as a Buddha. So the group of 5 did not believe in the Buddha at first. And Buddha changed the way to convince the group of 5. And Buddha said, Have I ever admitted about realizing the Dhamma when I was in Uruvela? When Buddha to be was practicing at the forest, when the group of 5 were with him, Buddha did not even mention anything about illumination or seeing signs in the practice. So Buddha asked them, have I ever told you about my experience, about seeing light, seeing brightness, or any sign in the practice? So when Buddha asked that, the group of 5 realized that when Buddha to be was in the forest, he did not mention anything about realization of the Dhamma, not even anything such as seeing brightness, lightness, illumination, or other signs. So they figured that during that time, Buddha to be did not attain anything, so he did not say anything. And now Buddha is admitting himself that he has realized the Dhamma, so it is possible that Buddha is right. It is possible that what Buddha was saying was right. So in this way, their heart softened. They were more inclined to listen to what the Buddha was going to teach them. They listened attentively. they could absorb what Buddha taught. And Buddha gave them discourse, saying that they should avoid the two extremes and to practice Majjhima Paripada, the middle path. After they have learned from the Buddha, the first person among the five became a Sotapanna. So the one who became a Sotapanna really sees the Buddha as he had attained the first path and fruition knowledge. He has realized the Dhamma, and he is said to be seeing the Buddha. And they ask permission to be ordained as a fully ordained monk. And the others, they also became Sotapanna one day after another. And when Buddha taught them Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all of them totally removed defilements and became arahats. So what Saraji is meaning to explain here is that even though one sees the Buddha in person with their own eyes, even though Buddha was admitting himself as a Buddha, but so long as one has not practiced, so long as one has not realized the Dhamma, it cannot be said that they are seeing the Buddha. Only when one realizes the Dhamma, then he, she is seeing the Buddha. So what the Buddha said is that if one does not realize the Dhamma, one does not see the Buddha. Even though one may be seeing the Buddha in person with one's own eye, but one is not said to be seeing the Buddha without realizing the Dhamma. So nowadays, people are paying respect to images within their home, and they also go on pilgrimage tour to India. So Saraji says he doesn't know what aim and objective they have when they go on pilgrimage. So people who believe in Buddhism, they pay respect to the image as a way of representing the Buddha, image representing the Buddha. And what is more important here is not just to pay respect to the image of the Buddha. When paying respect, it is more important to pay respect to the Buddha by reflecting the virtue of the Buddha. So when one pays respect to the Buddha, one should reflect on the virtues such as Arahant, meaning that Buddha was totally free from defilements. So it is very important to pay respect by reflecting the virtue of the Buddha. And just paying respect to the image alone, without reflecting the virtue, it is not beneficial. But some of them are mistaken. They believe that by going on pilgrimage tour to India, they think that it is worthy of becoming a human being in this life. Some of them even think that by going on pilgrimage, one will not be reborn in lower existences. So such beliefs are not true. And Saraji hears that people from here, they spend money to go on pilgrimage tour to India and so on. Also in Burma, Burmese people also go on pilgrimage tour to India. And Saraji explains, many years ago, there was one old man who went on pilgrimage. When this man was asked by a reporter, "Uncle, how do you feel going on pilgrimage tour?" So the man replied, "I'm very happy to be here on pilgrimage tour. I am happy to die now because I have come on pilgrimage tour. I will not be reborn in lower existence." So that's how the man from the pilgrimage group replied. And Saraji compares this to a boy who learned the Buddhist culture class in our center, Panditarama. One day, this boy and the mother went to the Shwedagon Pagoda, and after paying respect, the mother said, "Son, come, we go and pay respect to the image, which is called in Burmese, which can be translated as the image of the Buddha, which can cut or which can block the way to Abhaya," something like that. So when the son heard the name, he said, "No, mom, it is not possible that one will not be reborn in the lower existences just by paying respect to an image. It is not even possible just by paying respect to a Buddha in person. It is not possible that the person will be free from abhaya just by paying respect. One should practice according to the teaching of the Buddha, and if one becomes a Sotapanna stream enterer by practicing according to the teaching of the Buddha, then will the person be free totally from lower existences." So the mother cannot say anything more. So Saraji compares the man who was on pilgrimage tour with a boy who learned the Buddhist culture training class. So Saraji said that if everyone will have the same idea with this boy who had joined the Buddhist culture training class, it will be very good. So in the text also, it does not say anywhere that by going on pilgrimage or by paying respect, one can be free from abhaya. But what it is said is that before Buddha passed away, Venerable Ananda asked the Buddha how the devotees should do after Buddha had gained Pre-Nibbana. So Buddha said, when the devotees go and pay respect at the four places, Sanvejaniyatana, the four places which can incite spiritual urgency, when they go on pilgrimage, when they pay respect by reflecting the virtues of the Buddha, they will have a pure, serene mind. And in case the devotee pass away at the very moment he or she is paying respect by reflecting the virtue of the Buddha, the person will be reborn in good existence, because the person died at the very moment he or she was having wholesome mind. So this is what Buddha said. None of it says that by paying respect, one will be free from abhaya. So it is very important. So one should not be mistaken that by going on pilgrimage, one will be free from abhaya. In order to be free from abhaya, one should practice Satipatthana meditation as guided by the Buddha, according to the teaching of the Buddha. And if one practices respectfully, meticulously, one can become a Sotapanna in this very life, and one will be totally free from Abhaya, the lower existences. So Sayadawji would like to encourage you all to practice diligently, respectfully, meticulously within the time left in this retreat, so that may you all be able to realize the Dhamma. May you all be able to pay respect to the living Buddha by realizing the Dhamma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.